Welcome back, Emory friends. I am so excited to share this time with you again. I'm always so honored that you guys click play and that we get to spend time together. So thank you, thank you, thank you. My guest today is someone that I met about, I want to say less than a year ago, but I feel like, Mel, you have quickly become a very good friend. And although we have not yet met in person, we will soon. So I'm going to give you a proper introduction and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about From the Heart. Melanie Curtin is a sex and relationship coach with a master's from Stanford. Her research and work has been featured on Today, HuffPost, Inc.com, and more. She's also the host of popular podcast Dear Men, How to Rock Sex, Dating, and Relationships. Yeah, who doesn't want to listen to that? She has been coaching men for over 6 years and specializes in bringing a woman's perspective to men so that they can connect and succeed with women in fun, inviting, and meaningful ways that lead to fulfilling sex and fulfilling relationships. Oh my gosh. I love the work that you do in the world, Mel. And I am just so excited to have you here today. So thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I also want to note for anyone that really enjoys Mel and her energy and her wisdom, you're going to be at the retreat in November. So please come if you are thinking, if this conversation pushes you over the edge. There are so many amazing participants at the retreat already. I just feel like there's going to be formal learning opportunities and a bunch of informal kind of wisdom exchange and opportunities to have fun together. So
yes, come to the retreat.
Yes. So you and I started talking, this was probably a month ago, about some of the work that you've done in the world. So you have a really long study or a big study around sex. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about that, what got you started on this path. And then we're just going to dig in because I know that you've got a new framework for men to access their power. So this is going to be a very juicy episode, especially for men if you're listening, and women for any of the men in your lives.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll hand it to you.
Yeah. So I am a sex researcher and relationship coach, but I didn't start out that way. Long, long ago in a land far away called New York City, I helped to co-found a nonprofit to stop sexual abuse in the Jewish community. So in the Orthodox Hasidic communities, the sort of insular communities in New York. And I spent a while doing that and learned a lot and did a lot of good work and essentially came to the realization that A, sexual abuse is way more prevalent than we think. And it's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. So if you are one of those people, you are not alone and it's not your fault. And it is recoverable, right? You can recover from it and have a really thriving sex life. There's nothing wrong with you. So just to say that up front. And also what I realized was we need to have a healthy sexual culture in order to avoid that problem, resolve that problem, help get people the help that they need, change family systems, right? Because a lot of what I was seeing was like older siblings with younger siblings or cousins or like older kids, younger kids. It wasn't always an authority figure like a Rebbe. Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. But the secrecy and the silence within the families was a big issue and within the culture was a big issue. So I kind of transitioned to, all right, well, then how do we actually establish a safe sexual culture? What does that mean? How does that work, et cetera? So I kind of transitioned to the other side a little bit on like sex education. I say sex education, it makes it sound like I work with children. I don't. I work with adults, but just education around sexuality, opening up the conversation,
yes,
making it be easier and more flowy. And I specialize in working with cisgender hetero men. So I work with men who have sex with women. And I do a lot of that through my podcast and with my clients, but I also do original sex research. And so for example, a few years ago, I wrote an article that went viral called My Top Three Sex Problems as a Woman. And embedded into that, I put a survey and millions of people read it and thousands of people responded. And then I parsed the results. And what's interesting about my sex research is that it's kind of like a confessional because it's anonymous and it's confidential. And so, you know, one of the things I asked people was, you know, with no sugarcoating, what is something you wish you could have told a previous partner about the sex? That some people.
What a good question.
Right. Some people told me things they probably had never told anyone ever. I mean, maybe they told their friends, but there's a way that there's a way that the question is phrased where it's just like, just give it to me. Just like, what is the truth about it? What happened? And I got some really interesting answers. And because thousands of people responded, I could look at the patterns. What are the, what are a lot of people saying? And so I could share some of those today. And we can definitely talk about the Hartcock matrix, because that is a trend that showed up in the way that women were talking about their male partners, and something that I've seen a lot in my work with men and that I'm passionate about, because I think that there is a lot that men think that women want from them that's actually not really what we're talking about. So I like to elucidate the mysteries.
Oh, it's so good. I love that you just asked straightforward and that people are like, yeah, I got some stuff to say. And to your point about how do we create a healthy sex culture, you know, it is opening up these spaces on a whole and through education and then even through this dialogue. So yes, we definitely want to get to the Hartcock matrix, because that is like what piqued my curiosity. Like, what are you talking about, Mel? But before that, if you want to share just some of your research findings.
Yeah. So a couple of things. I'll start with the most surprising finding that I found. So I think there is a general perception that sex is more important to men than women. And again, for most of this conversation, I'm talking about men who have sex with women and women who have sex with men. My research covers everyone, and everyone responded, and I have lots of results. And that's the frame for this particular conversation. So one of the things that I found was I asked people, have you ever ended a relationship because of the sex? Because I kind of wanted to get a sense of the stakes, right? So how important is sex in your relationship world? And I thought that more men would say yes than women. So 49% of men said, yes, I've ended a relationship because of the sex. And this did not surprise me. It's like, okay, about half of men, that makes sense. And some of them are marriages. We're not just talking about dating relationships. We're talking about marriages too. And so I was like, okay, yeah, 49%. Maybe the women's number will be like 25% or 35%. It turns out that 61% of women said, yes, I've ended a relationship because of the sex. And that 3% entered the like other category, right, where you write in what it is. And the vast majority of those said, I've never done it before, but I'm thinking about doing it now. So I think it was more like 65% of women, 64, 65%, a shitload of women. We're allowed to swear.
Yes, of course. Okay.
A lot of women have ended a relationship because of the sex. I am one of those women. I would not say it was the only reason, but I would say that when I thought about marrying this man, like this is the sex I will have for the rest of my life, that's when I was like, no, I can't do that. This can't be right. So I would count that as in the category of I ended a relationship because of sex. And what's interesting about this conversation is that I feel like a lot of the time, okay, there's many things to say, but a lot of the time when we're talking about sex, we tend to talk about body parts and technique, right? Like the what of sex. And there's a couple of things I want to say about that, because I do think that that is actually playing a factor here, but then there are deeper things going on that I also want to address. So first of all, for the mechanics, for the technique, for the actual physics, I think that male body people don't really understand how sensitive female body people are. So the female body, the male body takes about 7 minutes to come to full physiological arousal. This is according to Masters and Johnson and other research. So all systems go, all the blood is in the right place. Everything's flowing. They're like ready to bang. Okay. 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
7 minutes. So female body people tend to take not twice, not three times as long, but over three times as long. So 25 to 45 minutes to come to full physiological arousal. Now, you can have sex if you're not fully aroused. Ask any female-bodied person, they probably have. But you don't have to be all the way turned on in order to have sex. You can have sex before this time. But if you are or someone who has sex with a woman, with someone who identifies as a woman, female-bodied person, and you want them to be fully aroused, it's going to take way longer than you think, way longer. And this is important because it's not just the time between the sheets, right? So if you go, I dance tango, I dance bachata, I do partner dance. If you're like dancing, like you can be getting turned on. So I'm not talking about just when we talk about foreplay, it's not just I'm touching you in a sexual way in bed, right? It can be like flirting. It can be, you know, like any moments leading up to the encounter count, mm-hmm. quote unquote count. So when I'm saying 25 to 45 minutes, I'm not saying every sexual encounter needs to be that long, but I'm saying when I'm looking at the research, women's number one sex problem is pain.
Yes.
Women's number one sex problem is pain. It hurts. And a lot of that is not just intercourse. It's the way men are using their hands and sometimes their mouths. A lot their hands, though. It's too rough. It's too fast. It's too much. So physics-wise, I think it's important to note that, like, if you want a quick win, if you take nothing else away from this, use way less pressure, way, way less pressure at the beginning of an encounter. Touch her over her clothes and take more time. Just take more time and use less pressure. I think this is compounded by the fact that most porn shows the opposite. So it's like, hey, I pull down her pants and I stick my finger in. That, I can't tell you how many times I've watched a porn video and cringed. Like, ow, 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 that would actually hurt. Mm-hmm. And I want to be super clear again that the amount of pressure and like what will feel good at the beginning of an encounter is very different than once all the blood flow is there in the region. So I'm not saying you have to use kid gloves the whole time, but I'm saying the ramp, the on-ramp is longer than you think, and it requires more sensitivity and more gentleness, really gentleness. That's something that came up a lot. So I did one of those word clouds, you know, those when yeah. you take the words, I did those for, I was very interested in the men who were best in bed. So I was very interested in, like, truthfully, I was curious as a researcher, like, how many men are good in bed? I want to know, like, how many men out there that have sex with women, how many men are good in bed? Because I have a pretty big data set. And I felt like very few were really good in bed. And I was like, is it just me? Is it just the men I'm attracting? Is this like a reality? And so I asked a bunch of women, and then I looked at what they would say about the men who weren't good in bed, and then the men who were good in bed. And when you look at the word cloud, so I teach a course on this called Please Her in Bed, a streaming course, and all of this is in the streaming course, all of the visuals. But when you look at the word cloud for men who were not good in bed, fast is a huge thing in the middle, and mm-hmm. rough and hard are like big words, like too rough, too hard, too fast. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the one for men who are good in bed, slow is massive in the middle. Slow, gentle, I think. I can't remember what the other word was. It wasn't soft, but it was something else about like, oh, time. That's what it was, time. So a lot of women put, he took his time, good at taking his time. A lot of times the word time was really big. And I think that's important to know because we are not having the same experience, right? If you're someone who gets turned on in 7 minutes, you're ready. You're turned on. So it's for you, it's hard to grasp. Like it actually takes your partner a whole lot longer than you. Like it is hard to internalize that. And then you watch porn and it seems like these women are having a great time after 2 minutes. It's like, that's not enough time.
And you're right. And that's the education. Like where else? This is why education is so important and getting this information back out. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, part of why I'm passionate about what I do, because one of the things I say is if you're a man who has sex with women, if you want to give a lot of pleasure, learn about sex from women. Mm-hmm. Don't learn about sex from men because they're not mm-hmm. the ones having the experience of the people that you want to please. If you don't care about your partner having pleasure, if you don't care about her having orgasms or feeling really good with you, then have sex however you want. But if you're invested in her pleasure, learn about sex from women. Learn about mm-hmm. sex from women. So that's what I wanted to say about the sort of physics, like physical aspects. And another thing, so there's so many things to say, but most of my work and most of what I do is actually not about the mechanics or the physics. It's about the words, the communication, how we talk about it. Because one of the trends that I saw a lot in my research and one of the truths that I have experienced is that I have had a lot of trouble telling a man, ow, that hurts, mm-hmm. or that's not really the spot.
Yeah.
Or I would love this. It's really hard for me to speak up. It looks like you have something to say.
I totally, because I was wondering if that impacted the numbers of, you know, women breaking up because of sex. Is part of it connected to not feeling expressed or not feeling like they can actually say what they want? So it's easier to just be like, well, that one didn't already fit what I'm looking for. Because I don't know, in my experience, I've been with Marty for 23 years, and that's like, you grow, you communicate, you know, figure stuff out. And So anyway, I would love to, okay, sorry for my interruption there. Back to
one of my questions was, so I asked, have you ever broken up with someone because of the sex? Yes or no? And then other, right? Fill in. Uh-huh. And then he said, if something like, if the sex wasn't working, did you talk to your partner about it? If not, why not? Mm-hmm. So kind of an open-ended question. I got a lot of different responses. And then I looked at how hard is it for you to talk to a partner about what's not working? How hard is it for you to talk to a partner about what is working? Mm-hmm. And it turned out that the vast majority of women said 7 or above as far as how hard it is for me to talk to a partner about what's not working. So I'm going to give a concrete example. This happens to me with most male partners. The way they finger me is too hard. It's too hard. It's not pleasurable. I'm kind of like tolerating it because we'll get into that because I want them to win. I want them to like me and I want them to win. So I don't say anything. So most of the time I'm not experiencing pleasure. Sometimes I'm experiencing pain and it's really hard for me to speak up about that. So I would say probably an 8. And most women put 7, 8, 9, or 10. 10 basically. Wow. It's impossible. It's impossible for me to say something. So there's this interesting thing in our culture where I think that generally in this conversation, there's a lot of emphasis placed on, well, women should speak up. They should just speak up. Like they should learn how to communicate. They should stand up for themselves. They should speak up. They should be the ones who, you know, say something. Like if it's not working for you, say something. And I think that's what the vast majority of men are assuming is if something isn't working for my partner sexually, she'll tell me. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from looking at the research, she won't. Actually, you should assume that she won't tell you. You should assume that she won't tell you, not that she will tell you. And this is a trend that I think extends beyond just the bedroom. I think this is true of managers at work as well. They're like, oh, if something isn't working for my employee, they'll tell me. Maybe. But what works a lot better, which is what I teach, is if you, the man, invite her to tell you, you are much more likely to get the truth. So if you are taking an active role, if you are creating a safe sexual space, which is a lot of what my course is about, she's a lot more likely to tell you the truth. She's a lot more likely to express herself if she knows it's going to be safe. So let's go back to that concrete example. I'm a woman. I'm having sex with a guy. He's fingering me too hard. It hurts. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to grin and bear it, basically, most of the time. Why? What am I so afraid of? What is the impediment? Why is it so hard for me to speak up? So I looked at all the answers and I parsed out that there were 4 basic categories as to why it's so hard for a woman to speak up about something like this. The first one is, and I sort of categorized into like, what am I afraid he'll say? So the first thing I'm afraid he'll say, if I'm like, oh, that actually hurts, like I'd love for you to do it a little lighter. I'm afraid he'll say, oh, you don't like how I do it? Well, fuck you then, you stupid cunt. I don't have to do it anymore. I'm afraid the man will attack me. And this was actually borne out in the research. I have all of my quotes here, but I don't have them in order. So, oh, here we go. So this was one of the women that talked about this. She said, he was so emotionally fragile that if I tried to redirect him or tell him what I needed or wanted, he would get hurt and then bring up what I said in public to shame me.
Oh,
yeah. Ouch. Another woman said, there were times I asked him to go slow, but didn't say it's because it hurts. Somewhere along the line, I did start saying it hurts, but he took it really personally. He said, what's wrong with you? You don't like sex? It ruined our relationship.
Why?
So I just want to make that point because this is a founded fear. This is not an unfounded fear. Mm-hmm. This is a fear that comes from a real place. And many women have had the actual experience of saying something and the man attacking them, like really getting angry and hurt and feeling criticized and lashing out. That's a big fear. That's fear number one. Fear number two is nothing, that I'll say something and he'll just withdraw and he'll leave. And this is what that sounded like. I'm not afraid he'll attack me or anything. I'm just afraid he'll turn away and never come back.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a major fear. That was actually probably the bigger fear. I just put the other one first because that's my biggest fear is being attacked. But in the research, more women said, I'm not afraid he'll attack me. I am afraid he'll leave me. Like that if I, quote, criticize him, I don't really like to use that word because for me, I like to use the word adjustment, right? If I'm requesting it, judgment.
Requesting.
That experience of someone feeling criticized and then withdrawing and going away, again, that's like a major impediment to sharing. Because it's like, well, I don't want to risk the relationship. I don't want to risk what we have, and or I don't want to be attacked. So that's fear number two. Fear number three is basically this. So the word broken was a word that came up almost exclusively. Actually, I might be able to say exclusively. I don't think it came up a single time on the men's side, but on the women's side, a lot of women talked about being afraid of being broken. So something that they're afraid a man will say is, wow, you're a lot of work. My last girlfriend was easier than you.
Oof.
You're broken.
Like, and you're not good enough. You're
So women's number one sex problem is pain. Their number two sex problem is trouble orgasming. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women have trouble orgasming. And I think there's a whole variety of reasons for that. And I really believe that one of the reasons for that is when it comes to sex with a partner. So most of these women don't have trouble orgasming on their own. They don't have trouble orgasming solo. They have trouble orgasming with a partner. I really believe that some of it is that they're not turned on enough. They're actually not turned on. And there's a lot of quotes in the research about, particularly when it comes to penetration, their body isn't actually ready. They're not ready for sex. They aren't turned on. Because if you imagine that scenario that I'm talking about of, you know, he's fingering me and it kind of hurts, right? So my body is kind of braced for pain. I'm definitely not getting ready to come, right? I'm sort of braced. My body's not that relaxed. I'm not really into it, right? But I love my man, right? Or I'm into this hookup that I'm with. Like, I like the guy, but what's happening isn't really that pleasurable. How likely is it that I'm going to orgasm? Less likely. Now, if you're a very sexually experienced woman and you know what you're doing, there are things that you can do. So it's not A equals B, but I do think that a lot of the research and a lot of the information out there about how women's libidos are lower is actually that many women aren't being pleasured properly, that they're not actually experiencing the range of pleasure that's possible because of all of the things that we're talking about. So that's fear number three, is that basically a man will tell them they're broken. Like, if I speak up, like, for example, if I say, actually, I need more time to warm up, you know, I really need more time, they're going to say, well, you're broken, like, you need too much, or you're too much. And a lot of women are afraid of that. Like, maybe there is something wrong with me. Maybe I do take too long. Taking too long is something that came up in the research too. And that's something that makes me really sad. I feel really sad about that, because there isn't really a taking too long. There's just your body. And if you're a female bodied person, like, you're pretty normal. It takes us a while.
Anything is just from one perspective. It's like, in my world, there's no too much to whatever. It's just like, that is, and it's very one-sided from an outside perspective. Yes.
And I can tell you, looking at the research, like, you're probably normal. Mm-hmm. A lot of women talked about that. And then the last fear is, I'm afraid that he'll say, wow, you're really slutty. So if I share what I actually want, or what I actually need, or what actually turns me on, I'm afraid that he'll say, wow, you're really slutty. And this is what this quote jumped out at me. She said, I've always had an easier time talking about and doing new things with a fling rather than my partner, because I don't care what my fling thinks, but I don't want my partner to think I'm a trashy whore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's I'll give you like a quick example. Like, what if you're kind of interested in anal play? And you're like, I'm not sure, like, I don't really know, but like, it's kind of intriguing to me. I think there are a lot of women who would be afraid of, and I'm talking about either giving or receiving. They would be afraid of bringing it up, because it's like, what if he judges me? What if he thinks I'm weird? Like, a lot of people, I think you probably know this, but when Masters and Johnson did their original research, the number one question that they got from people after they did the survey, like, they did the whole qualitative interview, they did the research, whatever, at the very end, almost everyone would say, so am I normal?
Oh.
So am I normal? Like, do other people feel this way too? Everyone wants to know if they're okay, or if they're normal, or if what they're experiencing is quote normal. And a lot of people are afraid.
Am I good?
But it's not. Yeah. And so I think
totally.
That's just something to keep in mind. Again, I have lots on kind of like what I was saying before about how men can invite women forward, how men can make it safe for women to share, how they can create a safe sexual space, right? And one of the things that I talk about is thinking of it like a pussycat. So if you want So because sometimes I will ask men, this has happened to me multiple times. I give talks, I do things, I'm out in the world talking. And a lot of times, you know, men will come up and they'll say, yeah, like I've talked to my wife about sex. And I'm like, oh, okay. What did you say? What happened? And he'll say, well, I asked her what she wanted or what she likes. And I think that's pretty like standard. I also don't think that it works. I don't think that it works. I think that's, you know, saying right away, what do you want or what do you like sexually to a woman who has been raised in the patriarchy is mm-hmm. a pretty advanced question. That's
can
like,
can we just pause it right there? Because everything that you just said about the four reasons why women don't bring up what it is that they really want in bed, it is the same thing outside of the bedroom. It's the same. And it has to be a place of safety. And where I'm going, and maybe where we overlap and how we work with people is I started out my first self-love course asking women what they want and like caused existential crisis of like, I don't know what I want. Then something's wrong with me. I'm like, oh God, no, that's actually where we need to get to. We need to create a safe space to allow those desires and needs and wants to come up. Yes. So I imagine same thing in sex.
Yes. And that's why when I'm teaching men, when I'm sharing with men, what I say is, this is a process. This is not a one and done question or conversation. This is a process. And that's mm-hmm. why I use the metaphor with the pussycat. Because if you actually imagine living in a house and there's a pussycat, there's a cat in the neighborhood, and you want the cat to come into your house, you know it's going to take time. You know that the cat is going to need to establish trust with you. Maybe you're going to leave out a saucer of milk. Maybe you're going to make some noises. Like, you're going to sit there. You're going to be still. You're going to be quiet. You're going to let the cat know, I'm not going to hurt you. You're going to let the cat know the next day, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to attack you. You're safe here. Here's some milk. Here's some milk again. We understand when it comes to an animal that it's going to take time to gain their trust. Yeah. It's going to take time to gain their trust. It's the same thing when you're establishing a safe sexual culture. It's a process, right? So one of the things that I tell my men is, if you're having sex with a woman, whether she's been your partner for a long time or not, you want to say, listen, I always want to know in sex. I always want to know if something's not working, if you're experiencing any pain. And I always want to know if something is working. Mm-hmm. That is different than what do you like? So what do you like puts the onus on the other person to respond and to be articulate and to know what they want and to be able to say it without shame, which is fucking hard. All of those things are like, all of those things are pretty hard. But saying out loud, I want to know, that is creating a space. So there's a difference between asking a question and creating a space. Like, creating a space for someone to step into, to invite someone into, is very alpha. I use the words alpha and omega instead of masculine and feminine for the energies that are in us. So alpha energy, which we'll get to when we do the heart cock matrix, but alpha energy is sort of, it's more the container, the banks of the river. Omega is the flowing of the river. So what do you want or what do you like is kind of an alpha question. It's a penetrating question. It's asking for a response. It's having someone think. It's a different kind of experience than I always want to know. I always want to know, especially if something doesn't feel good or isn't working. And again, the reason I coach men to say that is because I'm looking at the research and the number one sex problem is pain. So it's extremely likely if you have sex with women, if you're a man who has sex with women, that some of them have been experiencing pain when you've had sex and they haven't told you. And I know that's really hard to hear, but there are lots of things we can do about it. So don't lose heart. It's going to be great, but it is important to know. And I think it's important to be straightforward about it, because the other thing that I know your whole audience knows, but it's worth reiterating, is that women's bodies change significantly over the course of their cycle and over the course of their lives. So the thing that worked last week with your fingers might hurt this week, and et cetera, right on down the line, right? Our breasts are more sensitive at certain times of the month if we're still menstruating. Perimenopause, menopause, bodies change again. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that's different every sexual encounter. I think there are a lot of men who are like, I just want the playbook. Like, where's the fucking playbook? I just want to know what it is that works. And I just want to be able to do that and do it well. And you know what I mean?
And unfortunately, for women understanding that too, it took me forever to realize, oh my God, my body is different throughout the month. Oh my God, what pleased me last week or 2 weeks ago it's not working this time. Yeah. So room for women also to be like, hey, it doesn't always have you're not abnormal. If one thing that pleased you last week, it's not hitting the mark this week.
Well, it was so funny when I was giving this talk in person, I remember repeatedly, because I thought, I created this talk and this course and everything for men who have sex with women. But what I found was that more women than men would come up to me and say, this is so validating. I feel like I understand myself so much better. Like, this is so empowering. I feel like I'm normal finally. And so it was actually more the case that women really resonated with my research than men. I mean, men resonate too, but I think because we're having the lived experience of what I'm talking about and all of these research quotes, wow, I see myself in that. I see myself in that. And I think a lot of us, I don't know if you feel this way, but I can speak to, I have definitely held shame around I should be a strong, empowered woman. I should be able to speak up in bed about what's working and what's not, but it's fucking hard for me. This is what I do for a living and it's still hard for me. And I want to get to another big trend in the research, which is why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for me to say, ow, actually what you're doing kind of hurts. And when I asked both men and women about this topic of communication, right? Why is it so hard? Why, if you didn't tell your partner, why didn't you tell your partner? Yeah. One word came up over and over repeatedly, very strongly. Can you guess what that word was? Well, I'm curious to hear from you if you ever didn't tell a partner about something.
My sexual experience is super limited because I've been with Marty for 23 years and with Kyle for 5. And honestly, both of them created a safe space for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I may be in the minority of most of the time it was really easy to be like, oh, that doesn't feel that good. Or could we change or could we shift it? Mm-hmm. But I guess I didn't realize how that would have been hard. However, that being said, it's really nice to have this info because if I run into an experience where it's maybe not that well received, then okay. But no, I'm so curious, what is the word?
It's feelings. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Mm-hmm. So most people, and this was definitely true for me, was the reason I didn't speak up, what I said about the reason I didn't speak up was I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want to say, ow, the way you're fingering me hurts, because it's offensive. I don't actually think it's offensive, but it can come off as offensive. Or I'm worried about hurting his feelings. I'm worried about him feeling criticized.
Or rejected. All of those insecurities that come up. Yeah. Exactly.
And so again, I think that the there's two things I want to say here. One is, it is true. We are worried about hurting someone's feelings. And underneath that are all the reasons that we went through, right? So it's like, I am worried about hurting their feelings. I'm also worried about being attacked. I'm also worried about him withdrawing. I'm also worried about being labeled a slut. I am worried about hurting his feelings, but there are other deeper things that I'm worried about too. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so powerful to be invited into a space. Yes. If you say to me, I want to know, I'm interested in your experience, I always want to know if something's working or there's something you're wanting more of, that is making it safe. You are preempting my fears. You are saying, I want to know, which makes it feel like, oh, well, maybe he won't attack me. Maybe he won't shame me. And again, it's a maybe. It's the cat is eyeing the house and maybe it's lapping up the milk and it's watching you on the porch. It's like, maybe they're safe. Maybe they're safe, but I'm going to come back tomorrow and see how they do tomorrow. So it is a process of opening up. It's not a one and done. That's very loud in my background. Can you hear that?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to respond to anything?
Yes. Yeah. No worries. All of this is making so much sense and I love that we're talking about this. And it's so funny because the work I feel like you and I do are dovetailed, because the work that I do with people is really creating that sense of safety in self. And if everyone does that work, you would have a partner that's safe for you, because that partner's done the work to be like, whatever you're saying, if you have a request, it's not a rejection of how I've been. It's, I don't have to take it personally. That's why us creating safety in ourselves, we are more safe for other people. And that's why we have to do the inner work. Anytime we are insecure and somebody touches that button, we are likely to react, you know, and that goes for men and women alike. So where I am unsafe in me, I am unsafe for you. So yeah, like this is so, to me, it's like the, inside that's the bedroom, out of the bedroom, all of it.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it. Where I'm unsafe for me, I am unsafe for you. And mm-hmm. I think that points to that woman who her partner brought up what she said in public to shame her. I read that and I was like, that is my worst fear. Like, that is the fear. It's like, you're not going to make the adjustment. You're going to attack me for having said it. And you're going to shame me in public for whatever it is I said. It's like, oh my God, no wonder it's so hard. And the stakes feel so high because they can be really high.
They really can be. I mean, I will give it to us that everybody's working on this. And you have men that come to you that are like, hey, I want to work on this. I love that. And oh my gosh, can we dig into your heart's cock matrix? Because I am so excited. You talked a little bit about it before. And yeah. I know that you're getting to that feeling part, right? Like that's where we're headed. So I'm all in.
Oh. Am I muted?
No, you're okay. Good. Mm-hmm.
No worries. Trying to manage my background. Okay, yeah. So there was a big trend in the research that women talked about. And this shows up a lot in my work with men. So I work with men around sexuality, but I also work with men around relationships. And I would say about half the men that I work with right now are in relationships already. So they're mm-hmm. married, often married, sometimes in long-term partnerships, and or in single men. So I work with both. And there's sort of a balance between, this is so funny, like the one part of the like house that they're cleaning right now. Okay, great.
No worries. Keep going. We're good. Okay.
So there are basically two main energies within a man. And these energies exist within all of us. So mm-hmm. this is not just about men, but I'm going to make it about men for today for the purpose of this exercise. Heart energy and cock energy. And if you think about this like a scale, so if you remember back in the day, the x-axis is the flat axis. So we're going to call that the heart axis. And then the y-axis is the up and down axis. And that is the cock axis. So heart energy and cock energy. You can kind of imagine it like this. I am using the word, yes, exactly. I'm using the word cock consciously because it's kind of edgy. Right? It's kind of mm-hmm. edgy. It's kind of like, whoa, she actually said that word. Whoa, she said that word on a podcast. It's loaded up with a lot of stuff. And I'm using that mindfully because that is part of that energy. So mm-hmm. part of talk energy is the willingness to be edgy, the willingness to be forward, penetrative, directive. It's alpha energy. So like I said, I use alpha and omega instead of masculine and feminine in my work around polarity. So cock energy is about drive and power at its essence, right? Drive and power. Heart energy is about connection and love, basically. There's more nuance here, but this is the basics. So if you think about this as a scale, like up and down, x-axis, y-axis, all men fall somewhere in here. They're all on the graph somewhere. And what I find is that a lot of the time, something's out of whack. Something's out of balance. There's too much heart energy and not enough cock energy, or vice versa. So I'm going to briefly go through what happens in these different quadrants. So if you have none of both, if you have no cock energy and no heart energy, usually you're really depressed and there's just not a lot of energy in the system at all. There's not a lot happening. If you got a lot of cock energy and not a lot of heart energy, you're rapey, right? If you're over here right on the line, those are rapists. If you move over and you have a little more, right? You got more heart energy, but you got a lot of cock energy. Now you're going to have like your fuck boys, right? Have people that are sort of using women for sex and, but they're good at pulling women, meaning they're good at getting women interested. They're good at generating polarity. They're good at like creating that fire, that spark. They're good at following the energy. They're good at that. And a little bit further along with more heart energy, you got your spiritual fuckboys. So these are the guys who know all the language and they can really drop in, but they're not good at committing. So they're with you when they're with you, and then they're totally gone. And that is definitely an archetype that happens. If you're talking about a high value woman, meaning a woman who values herself, who's done her work, who's in her power, she is not going to commit to those guys. She might, another word for this is boy toy. She might play with those guys, but she's not going to commit to those guys. So that's that kind of upper quadrant. Now let's go to guys that have a lot of heart energy and not as much cock energy. this is like my sweet spot. These are most of the guys that I work with. These are good guys. These are sometimes great guys. These are nice guys. Sometimes if your audience is familiar with Dr. Glover's work, the No More Mr. Nice Guy book, that's a revelatory book for a lot of the guys in these categories. So if these men are single, a lot of times they're maybe getting first dates, they're not getting second dates. A lot of the time they're getting friend zoned. So like, oh, you're such a great guy. I'm just not feeling it. Like, I'm not really feeling that spark. They might hear things like that. It's very frustrating for them because they feel like, I'm showing up, like I'm doing the things, I'm doing it right, I'm respecting women, I don't understand, like, why isn't this working? And they're looking at that upper quadrant and they're looking at men that are having a lot of sex or seemingly having a lot of success. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, those guys aren't good guys. They don't treat women well, but they're getting a lot of sex. That's crazy. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So part of my work, part of what I do is I work with men in both of these categories. Basically balancing them out. And I want to say something because I feel a little bad about the category of a guy who has cock energy going and not as much heart energy, because I do work with some of those guys too, and they're not bad guys, right? I use the term fuckboy a little bit flippantly, but what I have noticed about those men is that essentially here's the deal. The guys, the nice guys, their spiritual path is to claim their power. Mm-hmm. The guys at the top, the guys with the cock energy, their spiritual path is to open their heart. So what I have noticed about those men, the men in the upper quadrant that I was talking about, is they've dated women. They don't have a problem getting women to date them. They have a problem keeping them. So women have left them. And almost all of the men in this category that have come to work with us have been left. They have lost a really good woman because she couldn't feel his heart. Mm-hmm. She couldn't connect with his heart. She couldn't really feel him. And women have different words for this. There's different language around it, but that's the essence of what's going on. Yeah. And you can't build a strong, long-term committed bond without that. You really need that. And so
I imagine that the recoil from that too is to like close it down more. You know, unless you're not conscious and like working on that.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of those guys, I think they're working on opening their heart. And a lot of them have had really strict or closed off dads or family systems. So they've learned to shut it down, to shut down emotion at a young age. And truthfully, every man that I've worked with has learned to shut down emotion, because that's part of what our culture teaches, is men aren't allowed to
totally
feel basically anything other than anger. That's basically the only acceptable really emotion for men, which strips them of their humanity. They don't get to be a full person, like a full range person. And that causes a lot of kinks in the system. So I just wanted to say, I don't want to badmouth this category, because there are wonderful men I've worked with who have a lot of cock energy and are working on opening their heart and developing their heart energy. And it's been really gratifying to watch them and witness them do that, because I remember one of our men recently said, wow, I had sex with my girlfriend for the first time with my heart open. And I didn't even know what that was like. That was a completely new experience for him. So it's very gratifying to see both all of these men move into the top right quadrant, which is really what we want. Really what we want is an integrated man, integrated man who has his heart online and his cock online, right? He's in his power and he's attuned, right? Mm. And this is the guy that can ravage us, right? Mm. So when it comes to sex, I can share a few quotes from the research of how these energies are reflected in sex, because you can think of it kind of like a spectrum. So there's light sexual energy and there's dark sexual energy, and these kind of map to heart energy and cock energy. Mm. Light sexual energy is like, it's eye gazing, it's making love, it's slowing down, it's deeply connected, it's the focus is on the heart connection in the sex, right? There's a lot of that feeling. The dark sexual energy is it's animalistic, it's raw, it's up against the wall, it's like, I've got to have you, right? It's like that quality, and it's sort of like, it's darker, it's got elements of that just more primal. This is almost exactly maps to how men in these categories show up in bed. So I don't, well, you sort of mentioned you kind of only been with two men. I've been with a lot more than two men. And what I've noticed is there are men where it's like, yeah, they're great at like fucking. They're great at the animal like act. And like, you know, they're not great at connecting during sex. Yeah. Like they're not good at that. And so it's pleasurable. It feels good. It's fun for a while, but it's not enough for a full, satisfying, fulfilling relationship. Women really want access to both of these energies from you.
Yeah.
They want all of it. They want what's being called for in the moment. They want you to be able to roll with what's being called for in the moment. So if you only have access to one or the other, it's not going to be as satisfying for her.
Yeah. You want to open up that whole spectrum. That makes so much sense. And yes, I have been with more, but that was in my early 20s. So, you know, this adult version hasn't. But I love that as a spectrum, you know, that spectrum of we want access to all the energy in our partner because why? We want access to all of that energy in ourselves.
Yes.
You know, like how can you bring your darker, like animalistic, primal sexual energy if your partner can't match you there? Yes. How can you bring your heart if your partner can't meet you there?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the way this shows up in the research, I can read you some of these quotes. So too much light sexual energy, which one should we do first? Too much light or too much dark?
Start wherever you want to start.
Okay. Too much light sexual energy. I need him to be rougher. It felt like I was making love to my sister. Be more assertive. I won't break. Don't be shy. I want you to ravage me. I need dominance. So that's what it sounds like in women's words when they're craving this cock energy from you, when they're craving it from you, that's what it will sound like. And then on the other side, this is too much dark sexual energy. Being a poker, basically jackrabbit sex with a finger. Being too forceful or rough. You're not a jackhammer and you're actually hurting me. Jabbing me like they are stabbing me. Driving in too soon. It hurts when you aren't ready and things aren't wet enough. Now, that, again, is like partly about the mechanics, but you can get a sense of, I need more connection from you. I want you to attune to me. I need you to be with me and my body right now. Where are you? You're just sort of using me as a masturbatory tool. I'm kind of here for that. That's not connection, right? The heart energy is about, I'm with you. I'm really with you. I'm present. I'm connected. I'm with you. I'm here. So in my work, a lot of the guys that I work with are in this nice guy category. They're in this kind of like on the heart cock matrix, they've got heart energy. What I love about these men and what it's just really fun working with them is that they have a lot of relationship skills already. So they have a lot of potential and they do need to work on claiming their power. And, you know, one of our guys, it was so interesting because when he came to us, what I find with a lot of these men is that they're actually very passive. So a lot of these guys have been in relationships, but it's because she picked him. So there's this kind of leaning back passive quality to a lot of these guys. And that's not just in relationships. That's sometimes in their lives as well, in their work lives, in other aspects of their lives. And it was really gratifying. One of our guys kind of had some of this more passive quality. And through our work together, as we were doing some of this claiming of his power, all this stuff, he was at an event. He caught eyes with this woman across the room. There was like some energy. He hung out after. He talked to her. He got her number. They set a date. He was like, I have never done that ever in my life. And I think he's in his 40s. Wow. And he's like, this felt so much better than just waiting and hoping. Right. And sort of like casting my eyes away, like, oh, she looked at me, I have to look away. One of the things we talk about in practice is eye contact and sustained eye contact, because it is part of the whole dance. And for a lot of men, especially in this kind of nice guy category, sexual shame is driving the show. They don't want to make a woman uncomfortable. That's like their worst fear is being coming across as creepy or coming across as a pervert. And so before, that man would have maybe caught eyes once and then looked away because he wouldn't have wanted her to feel uncomfortable. But after all of our work together,
Well, that is more of the, like the cultural context that we're in right now too, is like men be afraid, don't overpower women. But you like hearing that, that's got to feel so good. And I imagine it's not just in the bedroom. This is what I keep getting in this conversation so loud and clear, is that you're helping people with their energy. And I heard you say this word, and I want to come back to it, as you said, their spiritual path. So For men that have more heart energy and less cock energy, their spiritual path is owning their power. And for the men that have the power, their spiritual path is owning their heart. Like spiritual path, that is, that touches all parts of our life. And so the way I view it is like, there's all these different learning paths in life. And the bedroom, our physical connection is like one learning path to get a lot of the meta, like the meta skills, the really the reasons why we're here. So, oh my God, fascinating. All of this. I love the work that you're doing. You've got to have seen so many incredible results working with people in this area.
I've seen a lot of results. So that man I was talking about, actually, the woman that he was seeing before he joined our program was kind of domineering. A lot of our guys have been with domineering women, or like they've had a lot of challenges in relationships. Sometimes women have had borderline personality disorder or narcissistic personality disorder. So they've kind of felt used, and they've felt like they definitely weren't in their power. They were sort of overpowered in their relationship. Yeah. And witnessing their transformation and them actually being active, right? Like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go after things that I want. That changes your whole life, like you said. Mm-hmm. That's not just about sex or relationships. And we've had men get promotions. We've had men, a lot of men switch jobs. A lot of men that were in jobs they hated or jobs that just weren't, they were just meh. They're just neutral. Yeah. They're just beige. You know, they just weren't giving them any energy. They were just sort of passively, like I said, like just passively there kind of thing. They've gotten jobs. They've gotten raises. They've gotten promotions. A lot has happened outside of just sex and relationships. But that particular man went on to meet a woman that was a much better fit for him. And they moved in together and they're renovating a house together. So they're doing a shared project. It's just, it's a much more generative relationship. And the way that he describes it is, it's like we are on a team together. We are doing a thing rather than when she has scraps of attention she can give me, I take them, right? Or like when she has time, I'm there. Like there was a sort of like passive element that like didn't feel good. It wasn't generative. It wasn't making him happy. I don't know how it was making her, but I hear that again and again from my guys. It's like, wow, it feels so much better to be the one moving rather than the one that's kind of, things are happening to, like life is happening to me versus I'm engaged in my life. I'm engaged in my life. Not that I get everything that I want, but in our work, the thing that we drill into our guys repeatedly is, it's not about whether you get the thing. It's about whether you tried. So for single guys, it's like, it doesn't matter whether you get a number. It doesn't matter whether she says yes. What matters is, did you do it? And one of our guys, it was so sweet. The other day, he had this crush on this woman in a liquor store. And he was like, I was like going out of my head. You know, I was outside. I was like, should I do it? So he finally went back in and he was like, I think you're really cute. Like, I would love to get your number. And she said, no. And we said, good for you. You did the thing. You got on the court. You were in the game. You were on fire. Like, good for you. And he felt great about himself. I feel great about him because I'm like, that's the win. Yes. And life changes when you're like, good job, self. I did it. Not did the outcome happen. It's not about that. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Like life changes. And I'm sure you know that as someone who works with self-love. It's like, that's the moment when we build self-esteem. That's the moment. We give ourselves credit for the thing that we did, not whether we got the outcome we wanted, but just did I do it? Did I try? Did I send the email? Did I ship my art? Did I say the thing? Did I speak up for myself? Whether or not the person responds exactly how I wanted, yes, I did it. Good job, self.
Yes, totally. Oh my gosh. I love this, Mel, so much. I want to point out too for our the Amory audience, where the majority are probably in open relationships. I'm wondering if this, because you're mostly working with heteronormative, like monogamous people. And what I am realizing is that when you're open, you actually get to meet people that have different energies. So you might already be able to place the people in your life on like, oh yeah, they've got more of this energy or more of that energy. Or, oh yeah, there's a reason that I have a partner that maybe has more heart energy. And so then I get more cock energy out of this relationship and like, whatever, just wherever that is. And to allow for the full spectrum, like, you know, for monogamous people, you want maybe more of the full spectrum in one person. For people that are open, you might be like, oh, cool. Like I get the heart energy here. And then it's just like it's just a different framework, I guess, to see why we're attracted and what we get out of different relationships. You have mentioned your program a couple times. I'm so curious, like what is it? How long is it? How do people find it? What does that look and feel like for people that opt in?
Yeah. So I keep saying we, because I coach alongside my good friend and co-coach Jason Lang, and we run a program for men, and we run that mindfully together. So there are a lot of programs out there. There aren't a lot that have both a man and a woman mentor, mm-hmm. where you get both of those energies the whole time carried through. Mm-hmm. Because I really think there's value in the transmission from both people, both of those energies. And the program itself it's 10 weeks, but we give men 14 weeks to get through everything because it tends to take a while and is deeply transformational. And you can find out more about that on my website, melaniecurtin.com. If you're interested. Awesome. I think that I wanted to come back to something that you said about getting different energies from different people. I think there's one thing that I've seen repeatedly is, it seems like there's also just like a craving a lot of the time. Like I've heard from a lot of women, like craving more of the cock energy from their partner. So they chose a partner who was safe, meaning they could feel his heart. I can feel mm-hmm. your heart. I know you're with me. There's certain attunement, like they're right. And then there's this like, oh, but I want this other thing too. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just wanted to normalize that doesn't mean, if you're a man hearing that, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. And it doesn't mean you're deficient in something. This raw energy, this power, this dominance, right? This, we all have it. Mm-hmm. Every human being has it. This is not just about men or women. And I know that I am heteronormative in my work, so it can sound that way, but it's the same thing, right? Healthy alpha energy and healthy omega energy is needed in all of us in our lives. Mm-hmm. There are times that we need to step up and we need to stand up and we need to claim something. There are times that we need to relax and receive and soften. Mm-hmm. We need both of those. So it's very common that a woman will choose a man who is safe and who has the heart energy and the heart connection, and then she'll want more of this dominance. And mm-hmm. and it can be hard to talk about and hard to communicate about because it is an energy. And so this man, for example, this hypothetical man, he might be really good in bed. He might be like really gentle with his tongue, like really like just knows what he's doing, right? But there's a desire to be fucked. Like there's like this desire for like him to take her, right? She wants him to take her and like, and be passionate. And so the words she's using, he's like, okay, yeah. Like, how do I do that? Right. Like, I don't really know what that means. And so I think it can be a hard conversation when it's like, it's an energetic. And mm-hmm. I think that's like one of our guys is married and he started with us early in the summer. Now it's fall. He's graduating soon. And his wife is like, I love the way you fuck me now. Like there is a difference in how he's showing up. And it's not the mechanics. It's mm-hmm. all of the stuff we've been doing with him about claiming his power and stepping into this energy and this energetic. And we do, you know, we do stuff in the program. Stuff happens.
And you don't have to give away all your secrets.
Right. But you can even see it in his posture. Like he's up straighter. Mm. His shoulders are back. His spine is straighter. He's just more in his power. And so his woman can feel that. She can feel that. So a fun story is one of my mentors is London Angel Winters and Justin Patrick Pierce. They have fabulous names. And one of the practices they have, their couples do, is she wears a very thin white t-shirt that says, please rip this off of me. So that's a fun practice you can try as a tip. If you're like, I want this kind of thing from you. It's just like mm-hmm. one small couple thing. Cause men are like, what does that mean? Like, how do I do this? Like, that's just one example of like, oh, I want this from you. Cause we've already established safety and trust. Mm-hmm. We've already established safety and trust. So now I want this other thing, this other layer, this level of excitement. So yes, we can get different energies from different people. And it's totally normal if you're wanting something with a partner you have, mm-hmm. you're wanting something more from them. That is part of our spiritual path. We pick partners who crave things from us a lot of the time. That's part of what we're learning. That's like kind of part of how we pick people.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes. Oh my gosh. This has been so fun, Mel. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You've got so much wisdom and I feel like we're just scratching the surface of what is your group program and where you take people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Yeah. What else is, you feel like there's anything that we didn't get to cover? Is there anything that you want to make sure you share with listeners?
So I have, One last thing is there's this something I call the divide in the research, which is when I ask people, what do you wish you could have told a previous partner about the sex? Right? That question. Mm-hmm. Here's what a lot of men said. I need her to tell me what she likes, what she needs. Tell me what feels good and what doesn't. What am I doing wrong? Show me how to do it right or how you like it. Take my hand, take my penis, show me. Tell me while having sex so I won't stop or move. I love that part. So I won't stop or move. She won't tell me how to be better. So, and then here's what the women said. What do you wish you could have told a previous partner about the sex? About my likes and needs. Basically everything that are my needs. How I wanted to touch. How I wanted to be touched or how to touch. Be more specific about what I want and more important, what I don't. How to please me. So you have the men being like, I wish you could tell me what you want. And the women being like, I wish I could tell you what I want. And I call this the divide, which again points to like, you coax us forward. Like we really mm-hmm. want to tell you, but we're really scared. Like we're really scared. Mm-hmm. I think I just wanted to kind of reiterate. And again, part of the reason I think we're scared is because sometimes we don't know how to say, I want you to fuck me sometimes. Like I want you to ravage me and I don't know how to, you know, help you with that. Like I can tell you like I want this thing, but I don't know how to, like all the nuances, right? And so I just won't tell you. I just won't tell you. So
and that's so sad because both parties are wanting the same thing.
I know, both parties wanting the same thing. Oh, and then the last thing I did want to say too was I think that sometimes what men think makes a man great in bed is not actually what women report. So I wanted to say 95% of men did not talk about the man staying hard for a long time. 97% did not talk about penis size. 97% did not talk about penis size. Just wanted to reemphasize that. And 0% talked about the guy having a six pack. So to be great in bed, you don't need to have a great body. You don't need to have a big cock and you don't need to be hard all the time. It's not true. But one thing that women did talk about a lot, and this is in my course, is presence, real presence, like deep presence with me in the moment. And a lot of women talked about, you know, their top sexual encounters. Some of them, they didn't even have intercourse. Some of them, it was just like the connection was so real and the passion was there. He was good with his hands and it was like, oh, this is like top. You know, I'm one of those women, top of my list. Like if I go through like five, like really hot sexual encounters, one of them, we didn't have sex. We didn't have a condom. We were in like the middle of France in a snowstorm. And we were like, well, guess we're not having intercourse, but we did other stuff. And it was amazing. And he was like really with me. So my point is that I think there's a lot of focus on the men's side of like what they should be doing or what they should be focusing on, which isn't actually reflected on the women's side. So again, if you're a man who has sex with women, learn about sex from women, because what we're talking about, what we're craving, what we're wanting from you is not what you're going to see in the fucking videos in porn. And I'm not talking about the porn videos, but I'm talking about the ads, like the messages that you're getting from the industry, from that industry are not what real women are saying about what they want. Like they want that energy from you. They want that attention. Attention was something that came up a lot too, was when women talked about the men who are best in bed, one of the surprising results that I saw repeatedly was they talked about, he put attention on me during the day. You know, he texted me. He let me know he was thinking about me. He like, this is women talking about the men who are best in bed, guys, not just men who are best in relationships. Consistently, they talked about like build up, basically build up. And that's like, anybody can do that. You can do that. And even if you're in a relationship, you can do that.
Totally.
Like there's something about attention and presence, attention from the alpha, from an alpha being, or when we are in alpha. It's the same thing when we're parenting, we're in alpha. Like I'm putting attention on you. The kid is doing their thing. They're total omega, complete life flow. And we are in alpha. We are containing them. We are holding presence and awareness and attention on them so that they can express. And it's the same thing that your woman wants. She wants to be in her omega flow with you, where you are containing and you're holding her. And that's true in sex too. Like she wants to feel that awareness, energy, attention, presence, depth. And I can read some of the quotes, which I think might be a nice way to wrap too, of the women who were talking about men who are best in bed. So one of them said, It was slow and deliberate and left me begging in the end. I feel like he read me like a book, played me like a fine instrument. He broke me out of the cage of vanilla sex that was my marriage. I know that last one, right? Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I love the smell so much. So much. We could go on for longer, but they've legit started jackhammering in the rehab that they're doing upstairs. Anyway, so it's cool. I've had to keep muting my mic. So I'm going to ask you where people can find you. I'm going to mute myself again so you can do that.
Yeah. Yes. You can find me at melaniecurtin.com. That's C-U-R-T-I-N. Or pleaseherinbed.com, which is my streaming course. And then that will lead you to all of the other things on our site.
And your podcast.
Oh, yes. And of course, my podcast. My podcast is Dear Men, How to Rock Sex, Dating, and Relationships with Women. And that is for any man who identifies as man, who has sex with anyone who identifies as a woman. So it's pretty open-ended, but it is rather, I would say, heteronormative. So just to know for that.
Awesome. Thank you. And then we get to hang out in person, finally, in Costa Rica in whatever that is, 7-6 weeks. I don't know. It's coming up quick. So.
Wow. 6 weeks.
Yes, it's coming quick. And there are a couple spaces. If anybody's interested, I'll put a link there too for the Costa Rica retreat. Mel, you are a gem and beautiful and so much fun. Oh my God, we're going to have a great time. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And we will talk again soon.
Yes.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.